The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's June 5th, 2023, to be rebroadcast June 7th, 2023, at our regular times on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you are listening or watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment below, and I might be able to respond. Fran might be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening on Facebook Live, just comment right down here. Or if you're just listening to this on an audio file, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or FMRadioFree.com. Ron's Rant of the Week. You know what? As long as people drive cars, Ron will have a rant. So, here I am out at the Cape this past weekend doing the Best Buddies ride. Big shout out to Gabe. Gabe, you're going to get a lot of shout outs today. So, if you're watching, and I know you probably will eventually, we'll hear more about that. So, I'm riding a tandem along with a bunch of other people riding a tandem, which once again, I'll talk about more in the show. And I'm getting ready to make a left-hand turn. Now, there was a T intersection. Pretty basic, right? There's a left-hand lane with a big arrow in it, pointing to the left. There's a right-hand lane with a big arrow in it, pointing to the right. Simple, right? Not simple at all. Because when you're driving a motorized vehicle and you get behind the glass of windshield of that vehicle, it brings out a whole new level of stupid. And I don't quite understand why, but it happens a lot. So what it comes down to is that I'm making a left-hand turn. I stick my hand out, pointing my finger to the left, and Gabe and I are moving over. We're moving over into the left lane. And sure enough, someone in a behemoth, stupid, useless vehicle decides that they need to get around me before I get to that intersection to make, yeah, you got it, folks, a right-hand turn. I'm in the left lane. I'm already there. I'm already heading to the line where you stop before you make the left-hand turn. And this idiot decides that they're going to go around me to the left to then cut me off and go over to the right and make a right-hand turn instead of just allowing me to do what I was doing. And all they had to do was do what they were doing, making a right-hand turn. But did they do it? No. It all comes down to the same thing, and I've had this conversation with so many people. Unfortunately, some of them are driving vehicles when I've had this conversation, and I asked the simplest question of all. So simple, so simple. If I were a car, would you have done that? It's hard when it's logical. Anyway, that's my rant of the week. I'll talk to you more in the show. We'll go forward here. Okay, positive side. I'm going through a little bit of Giro withdrawal. It was so good this year. Oh my God, the Giro was great. But the Criterium de Dauphiné is here. And yesterday was day one. And now we got day two today. And we're going to kind of keep an eye on that. Because the Criterium de Dauphiné is a really, really big follow-up to the current Tour de France this year. So kind of what happens there indicates who gets to go to the Tour, who's on what team, all that. We'll talk more about that in the future. Best Buddies ride experience. Oh my God, does this fall into a positive side? I had a blast. I totally did. I had a very cold blast. It was not the warmest day out there. What we had for weather was basically kind of that drizzly, weepy kind of Portland, Oregon type rain. And if you're from Portland, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about.
I lived here for 4 years.
Fran lived there for 4 years. Let's say you get very saturated at a very slow rate out there, but you do get wet. And so that's what we were dealing with. Plus, we had the average wind was 20 miles per hour with 35 mile an hour gusts. That was the weather forecast for the day. So, oh boy, that was a good time. You know, I'm sure you've heard from me before, because if you've watched a number of my podcasts and radio shows, that I'm not a big lover of cold weather. I don't like getting cold. And friend Richard said, whatever you guys do, make sure your kit is on the outside, because we have special kits we were wearing. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see pictures. We have lots of pictures, and I changed my cover photo, and you got to check it out. It's so cool. Anyway, I've got three base layers. I don't stay warm very easily. Three base layers on. I've got my kit shorts on. I've got a set of extra warm knee warmers on to cover the bottom of my legs. And I've got a rain jacket, a clear rain jacket on over all that. And then my kit over the top. So I made sure that I was very, very, you know, noticeable, which was the whole point. So anyway, it was cold. It was cold. 50 degrees. It was raining. It was cold. But we did it. We made it. And that's one of my positive sides of my best buddy ride experience. I'm going to talk about that later on in the show, probably sooner than later. Anyway, announcing the Tour de Cure in the greater New York capital region was my other thing that I did this weekend. I was all over the place. Drive 4 hours out to Balsam Spa, New York to do that. Wicked cool. Very cool. American Diabetes Association ride. Cool. It was a great event. They had much better weather, although the wind did come up pretty heavy and strong at the end, but that's okay. Another positive side, I gotta say, I have not been to that area for quite some time. I used to rep out there years ago, and I repped in Saratoga Springs and Balsam Spa and all around that region outside of Albany. Wow, roundabouts everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I have never been in an area that has had so many roundabouts. And there, it's like they pulled a plug on all the traffic lights and just put roundabouts in on all these roads. It's great. You never stop moving forward. You never do, because you're in a roundabout. And the traffic flow is always going. It's just, oh, it's brilliant. When people know how to use them, it's even more brilliant. There are instances where, you know, people don't quite figure out how to operate in them. But if we had more and more of them, people would figure it out just like they figure out how to run a red light. Oops, I said it. Anyway, roundabouts in upstate New York, somebody got the memo. Positive shout out to the state of New York for getting it together and figuring it out. That's a positive. We're going to move on now to the mechanical minute and cycling tip. First of all, I said I'd do it, you guys. I totally said I'd do it. A big shout out to Jake, Jeff, and Alex at Freeman's Bridge Sports in Scotia, New York. See, now you're on the show. They said they were going to listen, so there it is. You're on. And then the next thing I'm going to mention here in mechanical minute and cycling tips is, have you as a mechanic ever worked a big charity event? Wow. You just see it all. You see things, I mean, bikes that come out and then they have creatures growing in the wheels. I'm talking like cobwebs with spiders and other things. So many of these bikes that come to these charity events, they haven't ridden it since the last time they did a charity event, or the last 3 years, or maybe 10 years ago when they used to ride their bike a lot. But they come out of the woodwork and they are just atrocious. Now, on the other side of that, you get to see some of the finest bicycles out there, because, you know, there's people that spend a lot of money and a lot of time on their bikes and they take care of them. And rarely actually does the mechanic see that. They usually only see that because they need to borrow your pump to put some air in the tires, because maybe they need a little air. But the ones that don't get used as much are usually the ones that come to mechanical support just before the ride. So again, my friends Jake, Jeff, and Alex got to see a whole bunch of those on Sunday. And so anyway, that's part of my mechanical minute. But I also want to talk up a website that I found, which is called Bike Mechanic News. And this website it says, we strongly believe the future of local bike shops is in service. They're not wrong. Unfortunately, many shops look at their repair area as an afterthought, hiring inexperienced mechanics and not maintaining high standards for the service work. And it says here, our goal is to help shops improve their service and repair game as the bike industry shifts away from retail-focused models, with direct-to-consumer becoming more and more commonplace. Bicycle Stop. So anyway, that's something you might want to check out if you are a bike shop or a bicycle mechanic and you're listening to this podcast today. You want to check out Bike Mechanic News. Kind of cool. Anyway, bicycle shops. Here's another one. And I got this off of that site because I was listening to a little podcast that they were doing on there too. Stop shaming your customers for buying something online. Don't do that. Don't do that. They're your customer. They will be your customer. I know it's frustrating. I get it. It's like I used to deal with this years ago. People come into my bike shop and they try on shoes to make sure they got the right size, and then they go and mail order them. That's pretty rude, but they would do it. And I always knew when they were doing it because they would have the mail order catalog. This was before the internet. They'd have a mail order catalog rolled up under their arm while they're trying on the shoes that they're going to buy at the mail order catalog. If they came in with that obvious of a rudeness, I would simply say, so what catalog are you going to buy these from once you figure out what size you need? I just was very upfront with them. Well, what's the price? Just give me the price and let me see what I can do. And I would try to meet the price if I could. If I could meet the price, I would do it. If I could come close, I would do it. But anyway, don't be rude to your customers, even though they're being rude to you. Okay, it's customer service. That's the way it works. That's why you're there. That's why you're still there. So learn how to sell quality service, because that's really what it's about. And if they go out and they buy a bike online, think about it. So this customer walks in the door and they see a product on the floor and they know that they can buy it for, I don't know, $500 less than the one that is sitting there on your floor at the bike shop. That's a pretty big difference. If you were to walk into a car dealer and you knew you could get it for $500 less down the street, you probably would do it. You can't blame them, okay? You just have to educate them as best you can and sell your service. And, you know, chances are, even if they do go to get that purchase online, they're going to need some help with it. So why not be the friendly guy instead of the crazy guy? So anyway, that's it for my mechanical minute and cycling tip, which is never a minute. Isn't that funny how that works? So comments from listeners. Hey, Ron, thank you for your most recent podcast. I wanted to let you know several media outlets that reported Rogelik's one by road bike used in the second part of the 18K time trial was equipped with a small chain guide positioned on the top of the chain, row of the chain. So I didn't know that. And I got this from Mike, who sent this out to me. And he says, obviously, it was inadequate to prevent the chain drop he experienced. The drop occurred when he navigated over a drainage depression in the road that could have caused a momentary slack condition in the chain, possibly on the chain's bottom row. And that's probably true. No one knows for sure, but the chain could have come off the bottom of the front chain ring. The SRAM rear derailleur was using a clutch-type mechanism, which helps to prevent chain slack condition. Obviously, its function wasn't adequate in this circumstance. You know, I've worked on those bikes with that clutch, and I got to tell you, I don't like it. You know, you can like whatever you want, but I find that the shifting is very sloppy, and it just, when you really tighten up the chain like that, it just changes the whole, well, anyway, talk to me. Anybody got any experience with that? Send it out to me. I would just love to see what you have to say about it. And then there were many reporters commenting on Geraint Thomas's helmet exchange. That was pretty funny. Boy, oh boy, why did he even bother having different helmets? Anyway, doesn't really matter. So the Escape Collective podcast thought that there was a net And that effect in the time that was close to zero in their opinion, 10 seconds lost in the exchange, but much of that loss was due to the greater comfort and heat dissipation of the vented helmet that allowed for a higher output by Thomas on the steep section. Not buying it. Anyway, whatever. It was fun to witness all the tech innovation and set up experimentation at the Giro. And it truly was, Mike. I was very entertained by it. Stage 20 was truly one of the finest of entertainment in that whole Giro. It was just a wild time. And I'm not usually impressed by time trials, but that was a lot of fun. And another one here on my, and this is on my obsession with tubular versus tubeless tires. Thank you, Ron. It was an eye-opener on how my tubes track around corners. We knew instinctively in the Cat 4 races in the 70s, but never dared to look down as the quill pedals ground into the corners. Yeah, that's how far you could tip that bike over out of tubular. You could grind your pedals on the corners. Not a good idea, but it could be done. Got nothing against those who embrace tubeless technology, to each his own, but the combination of those tragically flawed tires on a wheel with disc brakes, no way I'd ride Cat 4 today. Yeah, I had another listener comment on the exploding wheels that took down Tadej Pogačar back in the Tour of Flanders and took him out of the racing scene for probably a month and a half before the Tour de France. Not good. Best rider, one of the best riders in the world because of tubeless tire failures and total like malfunction of wheels once they fail. All right, too much drama. He said right. And he said, glad you have a busy weekend, blah, blah, blah. And he also says, I always remember the announcer's voices encouraging us on, though seldom showing our appreciation at the time. Go for it, Ron. Okay, moving into the show. Just wanted to get by. It's nice to have listeners out there. I do appreciate your comments. I love to hear them. It's just always good. It's always good. So, my announcement news, I'm going to start on Sunday and I'm going to work backwards. Hang in there, Gabe. I'm getting there. Okay. Ron's announcement news, Tour de Cure, Greater Capital Region, New York. This was for the American Diabetes Association. My friend Scott got me involved in this. He's someone I work with when I'm working with the Farm to Fork Fondos. And he said, I really want to have you out to my event. And a big shout out to Dave Klaus for being there too, because he came and also we all met together at this other organization. Dave takes the best cycle photos you've ever seen. Really, really cool. Anyway, so Dave was there doing that. So I got to see a bunch of buddies and we got to hang out and I got to do my thing. They got to do their thing. It was really fun. So we were at the Elms Family Farm in Balsam Spa, New York for a 10-mile, a 30-mile, a 62-mile, and a 100-mile Tour de Cure. And remember, the Tour de Cure is fundraising has supported efforts for the Diabetes Association to be an advocate on behalf of over 37 million Americans living with diabetes, fund research to bring them closer to a cure, and provide resources to healthcare professionals and anyone impacted by this disease. You know what the cool thing about this was, Fran? They had sugar-free treats there. Because yeah, right. It was for the ADA.
Right.
So, you know, they're very aware. And there was a sugar-free breakfast bar that they were offering, which was really cool. And then, was it Chobani Yogurt was there? They're kind of an upstate New York company anyway.
Yes.
They were there, and they have all these new sugar-free yogurts and yogurt drinks. And it was cool. That's pretty cool. So, you know, it's nice when companies, big companies, get the memo and react to it in a positive way. So that's kind of cool. So this was a really nice event with over 300 riders, and they had pretty good weather. It wasn't too bad. It was sunny most of the day. The wind picked up pretty heavy in the afternoon, but it was still a lovely day. And I got to see a section of upstate New York, which I'm not so familiar with. It's sort of like around here, Fran, in the fact that it's got, you know, it's very rural. And that's kind of cool. Once you get out of the, you know, Saratoga Springs and Balsam Spa, it goes into some really serious farmland. Not as hilly here as here. But they say it's very hilly there, but they don't know very hilly. So anyway, let me move on to the best part of my weekend. Absolute best part of my weekend. Why? Because it was the Best Buddies. I participated in the Best Buddies ride. My friend Richard Fries got a hold of me a while back and said, hey, Ron, you know, this is perfect for you. I'd really love to have you come out and do this. I want you to pilot a tandem. Okay, which means I would be the captain on the tandem, and you're going to have a best buddy on the back. Well, my best buddy was Gabe from Maine, and Gabe was very excited, and he was doing the longest ride he'd ever done on the back of a bicycle. So that was kind of a big deal in a few different ways. It made our journey somewhat epic at times, but that's all right. We got through it. And so anyway, I'm the captain on this whole pilot program. So the pilot program, the way it worked, is there were a bunch of us on tandems that all started with 20 miles to go in the 100-mile ride from Boston to Hyannisport. So we hopped in there, and then of course other riders would follow us through. Some of them were catching us at that point because there was there were other rides. There was a 55 mile ride, a 100 mile ride, and then the 20 mile ride. So we had people all the way along. We had lots of people riding with us. We got to wear these really cool pink kits, which I had to wear on the outside of all my really warm clothing because I was freezing, but it worked out well. And we're very, very easily identifiable by those who are riding on the rides. This ride is, if you've ever done a big charity ride, if you've never done a big charity ride, and you want to see how to organize a really, really, really good ride, this is the one. Blew me away, completely blew me away. The organization would be, I'm getting comments. The organization that they had there was mind-blowing. It really was. Arrows on every single corner. Markings on signs on the side of the road warning you about bumps and potholes coming up. Just incredible. It must have taken them weeks to put this thing together. It was so impressive. Double markings at all the corners. Just incredible. So if you got lost on the Best Buddies ride, I'm so sorry, because I don't know how you did it, because it was just incredibly well marked. Plus the amount of enforcement and police officers, firemen that were out there directing traffic. Again, mind blowing. That good. It was a wild, wild thing. This is a ride that if you're looking for a bucket list thing to do, if you're looking to say, I want to really do something for, an organization where, I can raise a little money and I'll ride the bike and these things sound like a lot of fun. Let's do it. Do this ride. I can't tell you enough good about it. The people you help will feel good. You will feel good. And you're going to get a great ride out of it. You're going to meet all sorts of cool people. So the way this whole domestique program works out, which is way, way cool, is what they do is we all wear the same uniform. So we're very, very identifiable. And I don't know exactly how many people were there. If Richard's watching, tell me how many domestiques there were. It seems like there were over 100 of us. But there were a lot of us out there. They were all dressed up. And the job was, and we talked about this the night before. We had a dinner the night before. That it wasn't about your ride. You weren't out there to go compete or, show everybody how strong you were as a bike rider. You were only there to help. And if anybody had any trouble, you were to fall back with them. You were to work with them. And, this was not about you if you were a domestique. It was all about the ride. Needless to say, even if you were going fast and you were up in that front group and they were moving along at a pretty good pace, by the way, they let people out in waves, all different waves, so that you could kind of work into, what you were going to be with as far as your speed went. You always had protection around you. And if you were up in that front group and somebody in that front group had a problem and you were one of three or four domestiques in that ride, you just went back and you took care of them. And that's it. You're not in the group anymore. You know, you'll fit into another group, whatever happens. When you finished your ride, you were required as a domestique to go back. Yeah, go back and help bring more people in that may have been behind you. Just a fabulous, fabulous amount of organization here. Just top-notch, really cool. I had a great time, but let me get on to what I was doing there, because it's not about me, but this is kind of about me, so I will go there for you. So there were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that went on this particular ride, and it was, there's a little piece here I've got, and this was from 7 News Boston, which was also one of the sponsors there. Hundreds of riders pedaled through the rain on Saturday, yeah, it was raining, to support Best Buddies during the 2023 Best Buddies Challenge bike ride. Head of the ride from Boston to Hyannisport, which raised more than $3 million. The 7 News spoke with Best Buddies founder Anthony Shriver. It's really an event to sort of kickstart people getting engaged in inclusion and acceptance, involved in social justice, inspiring young people to recognize that the greatest thing they can give back that they can do is give back, Shriver said. Shriver took an idea born in his college dorm room more than 30 years ago and built Best Buddies into a global organization, helping people with intellectual and developmental disabilities live full lives. It's helping them find jobs, find friends, create leadership opportunities for themselves, good integrated living, Shriver said. Shriver's biggest supporter was his mother, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the founder of the Special Olympics. I'm really grateful for her energy and her passion and her spirit of making me always feel I could make a huge difference, Shriver said. Shriver and his mother were inspired by Rosemary Kennedy, Shriver's aunt, who was a sister to President John F. Kennedy. Rosemary lived with intellectual disabilities. She inspired my whole family to get involved in service, Shriver said. She inspired President Kennedy to become committed to people with intellectual disabilities. I think my Aunt Rosemary Kennedy, in her own special way, changed the world, Shriver continued. 7 News was a proud sponsor of Best Buddies, continuing a relationship forged by the late owner of their station, Ed Anson. He reminded me so much of my mom and dad, Shriver said. Hardworking, nose to the ground, he really reminded me that you can do a lot of good and not be flashy, and he did a lot of good for Best Buddies. In the end of the day, when you put your head down and if you feel like you did something that maybe improved another human's life, it's really rewarding and it's inspiring, and it makes you get up and get going at it, Shriver said. 7 News will have a team participating in the Best Buddies Challenge. And they did. There were a whole bunch of people with those jerseys on. It's kind of cool. It's totally cool. There were also a whole bunch of people there from Shaw's Market and Supermarket. And they were a huge, I mean, really, really big fundraiser for the event. So it's just a neat event. It's so incredibly well done. Considering that we're going out on the Cape in the summer, busy time out there, really, really busy time out there. And this thing just comes together so nicely. There's incredible amount of organization. So big shout out to Richard Fries, my friend Richard Fries, to my friend Paul Curley, who goes, hey, I was really excited to see you on the list. That's really cool. I've known Paul for a long time from bike racing days. Pretty cool stuff. I had a blast, but moving on into the show and into the story.
So Maria Shriver is Anthony's sister.
Yes. Yes. Maria is Anthony's sister. That is correct.
And they're all children of Eunice.
Right.
And Eunice, they're all children of Eunice Kennedy, and right. Eunice Kennedy was what, John F. Kennedy's sister?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And Eunice Kennedy was married to Sergeant Shriver, which is why their name is
Shriver. No, Eunice was John F. Kennedy's mother.
Eunice Kennedy was married to Sergeant Shriver.
Okay. All right. Whatever. So anyway, let me talk to you about my 20-mile ride with Gabe, my new best friend Gabe. I've got so many pictures. You got to go to the if you get a chance, go to Facebook and check out the pictures that were sent by Gabe's family and other pictures that were shared through Facebook. And it's such a cool thing. I have this lovely picture of Gabe on the back sticking his tongue out with a big smile on his face as we're riding the tandem down the road. And he's just a hoot. He was funny. I don't know if I entertained him, but he certainly entertained me. He was a lot of fun. So we departed from Sandwich, Massachusetts, which is on the Cape once you get over the infamous Sagamore Bridge. That you have to walk across if you have a bike.
Yes, you do.
And that's not...
Or
you will die. You will. It is not good. There's a drop...
It's scary. Yeah.
They need to put a fence up or something. It's something. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But anyway, I think it's up for some improvement in the future. I think I had heard that or read that somewhere. So it departs from Sandwich, which is just over the bridge, and we follow the last 20 miles of the 155-mile route through the heart of the Cape to Hyannisport. The terrain is rolling to flat, or rolling to rolling, I'm going to call it, without any long climbs. There's no rest stops along the way, but we're officially supported by all of us in, you know, our domestic kits and people cheering for us along the way. I had one of the domestiques from the 20-mile ride, and she was awesome. She was just a pile of energy, and I'm talking to her and she's going back and forth with me. She goes, "Oh, you guys look so good. I can't believe this." And she was just like, and she was doing that with everyone. I wish I got her name. I forgot to get her name. Or I probably did get her name, but I forgot. And I feel bad about that, but hire this girl back, Richard, if you're listening to this, please. She was awesome. She was just incredible. And then she got done and she went back and she went back and she went back. And I saw her towards the end, just before I was getting ready to leave. And she said, I'm going to go back one more. I got to go back out one more time. And I said, are you getting tired? She goes, I don't have much energy left. I said, well, you've done a lot. And I said, boy, I know why Richard pinned you to do this ride, because you are bubbling with enthusiasm. I said, she was just a great choice. So if this is something you really would like to do, if this is something that you might want to get involved with, you can reach Richard through me or directly to him. I can give you a link. And, you know, it's always nice to have volunteers out there that can ride a bike and can take care of people. It's really not about you. It's all about taking care of everyone else. So anyway, Gabe and I go through this whole thing, and we had to stop a couple of times, which is understandable since he'd never really been on a bike for this much distance. So we stopped for a nature break once, and then I got him back on the bike, and that was at about 10 miles out. And then we're almost all the way to the finish, and at 5 miles to go, every mile has a sign that says 4 miles to go, 3 miles to go, 2 miles to go. We got to the 2 mile to go sign, and Gabe said, I'm tired, I have to stop. And I went, Gabe, it's 2 miles, two to go, that's it. And he goes, I have to stop. And it's like, okay, all right, you got to stop. So we pull over, and I have him take his water bottle out, and he drinks out of this water bottle. And I said, you're getting tired, aren't you? And he like nodded. And I said, it's okay, Gabe, we're gonna finish this. We're going to do this thing, okay? We're going to do this. We've only got 2 miles to go. And I said, here's how we're going to do it. And I looked him in the eye, and I said, Gabe, when we get to the 1 mile point, which is only a mile up the road from here, when you see that sign, we are going to yell out at the top of our lungs as loud as we can when we hit that 1 mile point. you think you can do that? And he said, and he looked at me and he nodded, and I said, get back on the bike, let's go. So we got back on the bike and we started pedaling. We're going down the road and I can see the sign coming up, and I said, Gabe, what's that up there? What's that? And he looks and he looks, and we get right by the sign and he yells out as loud as he can. And I yelled out as loud as I could. And I went, we got a mile to go, Gabe, we're going to do this. And we pedaled on in, and it was just, what a hoot. What a hoot. And we crossed the line. Oh, the other part of it, before we got there, along the way, his parents were on the side of the road. They would drive up ahead of us, and then they'd stop and get out and cheer. And then he had three different supporters from Best Buddies Maine, which were down there with him. And they were holding up signs, and they were cheering. And it was, and so I had no idea, but I could tell something was going on back there, because I had told him, look, really, really important, you got to sit still on the tandem when you're sitting on the back of a tandem. It's really important to sit still, because every time you make a movement, I have to correct the bike for it. And boy, I can tell you right now, having someone who doesn't ride a tandem on a regular basis or ride a bicycle on a regular basis on the back of your tandem is a true challenge. Because the bike is kind of going everywhere. We came around one corner. We must have hit one of those 35-mile-an-hour winds. And I just remember the bike just kind of scooting across the road. And I'm leaning into the wind really hard. But, you know, Gabe doesn't know to lean into it. These are the things we know because we're experienced cyclists. But he wasn't. But that's okay. We figured it out. And I got him in. But, wow, what a blast. Anyway, so... he's on the back of the bike, and unbeknownst to me, whenever everybody's cheering, he was putting his arms up in the air, he was giving big thumbs up, and then the picture that you will see on my Facebook page is Gabe sticking his tongue out with a big smile on his face. It's hysterical. It really is. He was having a good time, and that is what riding your bike is all about, right? It's bicycle talk. We talk about good times on bikes. That's what it is. So anyway, we get to the finish. His parents are waiting for him. There's lots of hugs at the end. It's just, I gotta tell you, it's a very emotional experience. And it's really special. I don't know if Billy watching today? I don't know if he is or not, but Billy called me this morning and asked me how it went. And I told him, you know, some stories about what happened. And he said, I'm in next year. I want to do this. I want to do this. So, and Billy will be, he'll be that guy, you know, he'll be that like special domestic guy who just takes care of people and keeps them going when they're not wanting to go anymore. He'll be that guy. So anyway, I'm going to get him lined up for this thing for next year, because I think he'd be excellent at it. But you have to be that rider that doesn't really care about your ride. You have to be that rider that cares more about everybody else's ride than you do your ride. And that's how something like this works. It really does. I drove up with a friend, Andre, from... he actually lives up in Woodstock, and I picked him up at his house, and I drove him up there, and he did the 100-mile ride, and I haven't heard from him since. I got to drop him a note and check and make sure he got in okay, because he was on the, you know, the really big ride, and Andre can move his bike, so he was probably in with some pretty fast people, but let's see how he made out. So it was very, very interesting. At the end of the ride, you know, there was food for us, and you know, we were inside a big tent and we were eating some food, and they were getting ready for the big celebration. But I had to get in the car to New York, so I had to leave early, so I missed the big festival, the lobster, and all the other stuff. But that's all right. You know, I had another gig I had to get to. Before I left, I presented Gabe with something special, and I told him about the cyclocross race that I put on every year, and how When you win the cyclocross race, we have this thing that we've been giving away for years, and it's the coveted hoodie. I'm wearing one right here. And you get, if you're first place, you get a prize. You get this hooded sweatshirt. So it's very, very honored and distinguished jersey, or whatever you want to call it, hoodie, that you get. And people like wear them with pride all the time. I'm constantly bumping into people and they go, oh, I have one of those. Man, I love that sweatshirt. And I said, well, if you have one of those sweatshirts, you work pretty hard for it. And they go, oh yeah. So anyway, I explained this whole story to them. And then I said, do you know what a podium is? Like they use at the Olympics where they had the first place, second place, third place. And he looked at me and he nodded. He knew. He definitely knew about that. And I said, so anyway, if you get to be up in the number one slot, all the way there up on top, you get the coveted hoodie. And it's only for the real champions. And I reached into my bag and I slowly pulled out a hoodie and I gave it to him. And I said, Gabe, today you are my champion. And I gave him a hooded sweatshirt. He just like, as quick as he could, put the thing on. It was really funny. I looked across the table and his parents were both like getting a little teary. And, you know, it was just like, it was just a cool thing. It was just kind of a cool thing. And they said, you know, he's going to wear that for a long time. I said, I don't care. You know, I mean, you know, it was great. It's my pleasure to do that. So, and before I left, his dad got up and just gave me this really big hug and thanked me so much. And I said to him, don't thank me too much here because Gabe and I have conspired and you are now going to have to go out and buy a tandem and take Gabe out for some rides because he really, really liked this. You know what I found he liked the most, Fran, was he loved going downhills. Uh-huh. The only time I would really feel him like put a lot of power into the pedals, because you always ask for more power going up the hills because that's where you need it. But going down the hills, I would just feel him start to accelerate in the back. And so I'd have to gear it up real quick because I couldn't spin too fast because, you know, his feet would fly off the pedals. And we had that experience a few times. But I figured it out. It would figure it out eventually and figured out, you know, how we could keep him in place and whatever. So anyway, it was just a hoot. It was just, I had a great time. I can't stop smiling about it because it was a really good weekend, a very tiring weekend, but it was a very good weekend. Anyway, the Best Buddies ride, Best Buddies is an international foundation. It's just very cool. Very, very cool. That's going to be my story from that. And now I'm going to move on to other parts of the show. Racing news. Yeah, I know. I always have to have a little racing news in here. This one's kind of cool. So Wout Van Aert and Thibaut Pinot are starring in a new official Netflix Tour de France Unchained trailer. So the name of the documentary is Unchained. And I watched the trailer and started tearing up. I mean, it's like, it's going to be a 7 or 8 week series, I think is what it is. And it'll be on Netflix. And it's all about the Tour de France and the riders and the trials and tribulations and all the cool stuff. I did put a link on the Facebook page. So if you're interested in finding out more about it, you can go to that link and it will guide you in the direction. And you can check out the trailer. It's going to be good. I can tell already. It's just going to be very, you know, very dramatic and very good. And I can't wait because the Tour de France is coming right now. It's going to be up here real soon. And so definitely check out that Netflix trailer. I thought I had something here. That's that. And hang on just 1 second here. So here it is. Tour de France unveils new trailer for Netflix series out the 8th of June. All right. And it's going to be launched alongside this year's Criterium du Dauphiné. But, you know, that's the 5th right now. It's the second day. Well, anyway, it's close enough. So it's a new official trailer for the upcoming Netflix documentary series Tour de France Unchained was released online on Wednesday. The highly anticipated series, that was Wednesday last week, produced by Quadbox and Box to Box Films, makers of F1 Drive to Survive, follows seven teams at the 2022 Tour de France with exclusive behind-the-scenes access. The name has now been confirmed as Unchained. Previously, it was listed as Untitled Tour de France docuseries. But is an 8-part series, and it's going to be available to stream on Netflix on June 8th, coinciding with the Criterium du Dauphiné. And that's the big precursor to the tour. The new trailer shared by the Tour de France and the participating teams opens with an image of Tom Pidcock riding solo through masses on the Alpe d'Huez, where he claimed a victory on stage 12 last year. He was the youngest guy to win that, by the way, the first of the youngest guys to ever win that climb. So anyway, it was very dramatic, and he claimed victory on stage 12 last year, and then it continues with dramatic music and voiceovers to sum up the concept of the Tour de France. It's the world's toughest race, one person says. Also included in the 1-minute video are snippets inside team cars and buses, as well as bike footage and interviews with team managers. It's understood that 8 teams agreed to give exclusive access to Netflix camera crews for the series. AG2R, Citroën, Alpecin du Snec, Bora, EF Education, Groupama, the Ineos Grenadiers, the Jumbo Vismas, the Quick Step Alpha Vinyls, they're all in it. So it's all the top teams. It's very, very cool. According to reports, Netflix covered the production cost of 8 million euros to make the series, making it a total, paying in a total 1 million to different parties involved. So anyway, everybody got some money for it, which they should have. They're professional athletes. It really works good. So, and it even talked about, you know, Mark Cavendish, who holds the record for the number of stage wins of the tour, tied with Eddie Merckx at 34. That's another discussion for another time. I know you Eddie Merckx fans out there, because I'm one of them. So anyway. So this is going to be a cool thing, and I think you should all be watching this, because it'll get you really inspired. You're going to watch the trailer, and you're going to go look at your bike, put some air on the tires, and go for a ride. It's cool. It's cool. Totally, totally cool. So check out the unofficial trailer. It is on my Facebook page. You can click on the link, and it'll put you right there, and you can check out and see what's coming up real soon. So just when you think you're really excited about watching the Tour de France, you get to watch this cool trailer, and then this whole series goes, oh, boy. It's a great day to be a bike enthusiast. Anyway, so that's something that I wanted to share with you all. And let's see, what else have I got here? The Tour de France lead up. It's the Criterium du Dauphiné. So far, as of yesterday, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched it yet, you should turn off the volume for a moment, but Christopher Laporte of Jumbo-Visma is the first leader in the 75th Criterium du Dauphiné after a thrilling ending on stage one this Sunday. And the winner of the Tour de France, Jonas Vingegaard, himself had to pull a reduced bunch to reel in Rune Hergotz, who, that's what it says, Hergotz, who attacked at the beginning of the day and was only caught inside the last 20 meters. The young Belgian even finished third on the day, but he couldn't resist Laporte, who powered to his third victory in 2023 in only 9 days of racing. He now wants to honor the jersey on day two, another leg zapping stage that will finish in La Chaise d'Eu. And so anyway, that's what's going on. So there's lots of good stuff going on there. In other parts of my world of bicycles, just so you know, quality bicycle products. A few years ago, they bought Barnett's Institute, which is a mechanic institute for training bicycle mechanics. It was always a pretty standard place that a lot of people learned how to work on bicycles, even open a bike shop. It was tons of knowledge that you got there. So Quality Bicycle Products has closed its bicycle mechanics school. The U of Q, which was previously known as Barnett Bicycle Institute. Minneapolis-based distributor said its projections pointed toward a decline in enrollment. Reverberations of the global pandemic continue to impact the bike industry, including forecasting enrollment for in-depth classroom-style professional training that is a hallmark of the Institute, said Rich Tower, the president of Quality Bicycles. Ceasing classroom training is a business decision based on the foreseeable demand for this service. How I hate corporate business decisions. Just saying it. Some things you really got to kind of keep alive. Rich, what do I have to say? I think I just said it. This is something we really need right now. If you caught the very early part of my show, I'm telling people about the fact that they shouldn't shun away people who might have bought their bike somewhere else or online or whatever, because, you know, a good quality bicycle mechanic is always needed. And you're shooting the whole industry in the foot by doing this. So anyway, that's my opinion. I have a lot of opinions, as you well know. The closure caused by Quality Bicycle Products to lay off. Fran's laughing. My life is an opinion. Someone, was it Billy, told me I am an opinion. So the closure caused Quality Bicycle Products to lay off 3 employees while registered students were refunded. The school was located inside its distribution center in Broomfield. Retailers say there's an increasing shortage of qualified bicycle mechanics and say that they have offered increased pay to retain mechanics in recent years. The industry's 2 well-known mechanic schools tell Brain that they have strong enrollment this year after a challenging period during the pandemic years. So that means that there still are some possibilities out there. Quote unquote, we're pretty slammed and we're looking to add people and instructors, said Ron Supkin, the president of Oregon's United Bicycle Institute. Supkin said UBI has 3 instructors and its upcoming classes are at the maximum of 16 students until late this year, and there are a few spots open. UBI decided this week to add an extra class in August to take the pressure off its waiting lists and serve any of the students have been enrolled at the U of Q. Well, good for you, Ron. Excellent, excellent. So in recent years, UBI has graduated about 350 students annually. That's pretty good. That's not bad. So we still got a good flow of quality mechanics coming out of there. And then an Appalachian Bicycle Institute in Asheville, North Carolina, owned by Jenny Calista, said that there's a waiting list to get into classes there, too. Calista is ABI's only instructor, and her classes have a maximum of 5 students. So demand for mechanic education has grown very high. And she said she has not seen this change in the last 25 years. The lack of opportunities for mechanical education has been a persistent issue in our industry for a very long time. So why did U of Q decide to see a decline? Good question. Spokesman for Quality, John Sandberg, said he wasn't sure and he would be speculating if he gave you an answer. So he said, I'm not going to tell you. Basically, is what he did. So at UBI, at least 30 to 40% of the students are bicycle enthusiasts with a casual interest in learning mechanical skills for personal use. The remainder of the students are either employed in the industry or intend to find jobs in the industry after graduating. So there we go. There we go. That's what's going on. You know, just to give you an idea, in the Barnett Institute, John Barnett began teaching off-season classes for professional mechanics in the 1980s when he was still a service manager at Criterion Bike Shop in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he opened as a standalone business in 1986. So he's been around for a long time, John Barnett. So he sold the business to a National Bicycle Dealers Association. At that time, BBI had graduated 250 to 300 students a year. The NBDA, National Bicycle Dealers Association, operated BBI as a for-profit business at the time, with a trade association operated that also operated Bicycle Retail and Industry News, which is where I'm getting this information from. So anyway, that's news on the bicycle world, bicycle industry front. Just wanted to share that with you because we got to keep getting all of these great mechanics out into the shops. There's so much work out there, and the work is changing all the time. There's just a lot more technical aspects to bicycles now. You know, we've got disc brakes on a lot of bikes. We've got some of them are mechanical, some of them are fluid. That requires a lot of training to figure out how to do that. Not to mention all the new derailleur systems, all of these new gravel bikes with these enormous gears on the back. They're a little trickier to work on. So, you know, we need our bike mechanics. So what am I telling you here? Well, here it is. Just when you go to your local bike shop and you've established a relationship with them, or if you're about to establish a relationship with them, this is a huge shout out, and you're welcome, guys and gals who are working on bikes all day long. Don't forget to tip your mechanic. It's not a bad idea, okay? And food and beverage works really good as a tip. Just so you know, it works really, really good as a tip. I'm not giving you a hint here, but food and beverage works really good as a tip. So take care of your local bike shop because we need them. We don't want them to go away, and they are dropping like flies right now. It's not good. There's a lot more big corporate organizations coming in, and that small local bike shop is getting a lot harder to find than it used to be. So anyway, support your local bike shop. Super important. On events, here it is, Sunday, June 11th, 2023. We have the Wethersfield Bicycle Festival Show and Swap Meet. Yeah, it's cool. It's at the Hammer School in Wethersfield, and it will be the 10th annual Wethersfield Bicycle Festival Show and Swap Meet, celebrating all things bicycle. What could go wrong? It's perfect. Remember, ongoing, it's the bicycle game on the early history of bicycles in Hartford. If you haven't checked it out yet, you're going to go to the Connecticut Historical Society on 1 Elizabeth Street in Hartford, Connecticut. You can call them for hours and details. The 110th edition of the Tour de France will begin on July 1st, 2023. It's coming. Marking the second time it has taken place in the Basque Country, where it's expected to finish in Paris around July 24th. The 78th edition of the Vuelta a España takes place in Barcelona on August 26th, 2023. And the Spanish Grand Tour starts with a 14-kilometer team time trial in front of a roaring city crowds before Stage 2 also starts and finishes in the capital, probably with a hilly finale. So, and the Vuelta will finish in Madrid on Sunday, the 17th of September. Remember, MADE, M-A-D-E, www.made.bike, a new industry and consumer bike event highlighting the craft of handmade bicycles. They will be on August 24th, 2027 in the Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon. The Quiet Corner Bicycle Tour presented by the Thread City Cyclers, our club right here. Okay, the event date is Sunday, June 23rd, 2023. You can probably find the link on my Bicycle Talk page, but you can go to Bike Ridge and find it there too. Come on out, ride the roads that Fran and I ride on. It's gorgeous out here. It really is. The 19th annual, it's not the 19th, it's a 32nd annual Steeplechase Bike Tour is August 19th, also listed on Bike Ridge. Again, come out and ride the roads that Fran and I ride on all the time. Steeplechase is a local fundraiser for three area local nonprofits, and all the money goes back to them. Doesn't go anywhere else, just stays here locally. We could always use your help and support. That's always a nice thing. Finishing points, Tom Danielson is healing and he is getting better. He is, the bandages are off his hand now, and he keeps reporting about it on Instagram. So if you want to follow Tom and see how he's doing from his cancer situation where he lost a finger, you might want to just check it out. Check it out. He's trying to share as much of it as he can with the public. It's good. It's a good thing for him to do. It's excellent. Don't forget about the bicycle game in the Hartford Historical Society in Hartford. And how about that Best Buddies Challenge? Ugh, I'm still like emotionally moved by it. It's so, so cool. I'm hooked. Big shout out to my friend Gabe and his friend in Maine. Hey, Gabe, it's all about you today. Beautiful. And of course, Tour de France lead up is the Criterium Dauphiné. If you checked out that new Netflix trailer yet, check it out. See what's going on. And what's going to happen to bicycle mechanic education? Well, it looks like there's still a couple of places that are going to probably keep pumping out some good mechanics. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike. Join the revolution to change. You just might surprise yourself. It's so cool. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Fran Storch. And this is about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening.